Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the steal, Otto Porter. And Markkanen.
Good
Lopez
defense.
Rejected that. Levine to Markkanen.
The block party.
Back outside. That time on to Tecupo and Lopez.
That's what you call rim protection.
Entertaining enough basketball game with the proper result for a team looking to retain its 15% chance at Zion Williamson. Sam Vecini writes for The Athletic. He is on Twitter at @Sam_Vecini. He of the Game Theory podcast joins the Bernstein and McKnight show on The Score. Sam, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going really well. Not so great for the Bulls of late, and that's just from a tanking perspective. They've put together some real decent offensive efforts in this month and specifically in the last five or six games. What's been the biggest difference for you, not named Otto Porter, if that's the only answer? I suppose that's fine. And how do they stop being good so that they maybe get to the bottom three?
Well, I think the biggest difference is that Lauri Markkanen is back. He's healthy. He seems to have finally gotten into a groove, right? He's playing really, really well. You look at his numbers across the board, they're basically up from what they were last season. He's 2% higher from three-point range, three more points a game, shooting a little bit better from the foul line. He adds such a different dimension to what the Bulls can do offensively, because he really is one of the two or three best shooters in the front court in the entire NBA with the way that he can shoot off of movement. He can just allow you to do so much more. So you look at his addition, and I was a fan of the Otto Porter addition as well, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But, I think that it just gives them an added dimension of floor spacing that really helps the rest of their offense run.
They were swimming upstream with Jim Boylan literally not wanting to take the shots that were worth more points and trying to have them walk it up. I know you're laughing, but I'm not exaggerating.
No, I know.
He was playing bad offense on purpose, and I guess enough people have gotten to him. Enough people have shown up in his office and explained to him what this team was designed to do, how NBA teams are supposed to play, and I'm finally noticing a tolerance for somebody grabbing a rebound and getting up the floor with it and everybody else spreading out.
Yeah, the pace is the biggest adjustment. I mean, if you look at, in the three games since they've gotten Otto Porter, right, Otto's a really, really good three-point shooter, you would think that that would lead to an increase in three-point attempts per, field goal attempt, right? It really hasn't. It's actually right around the same. But what they're doing is they're pushing the tempo a little bit more. They've been up-tempo and have really started to get the ball up the floor. And I think that is the biggest difference over the course of these three games, at least. But in the three games before that, before they got Otto Porter, I mean, you're talking about one of the slowest teams in the NBA again, though. So I don't really know what to think of Jim Boylan right now. I don't know if this is an actual adjustment or if it's just going to be a deal where, in three games we're going to see a reversion back because, again, it's a three-game sample. Who knows what's going on with the Bulls?
Yeah, that's really the question for Boylan as it pertains to the Bulls front office, is do they believe that he can just flip the switch at some point next season? Is there an okay, now go moment for him? And I don't know if it's worth proving that from his perspective in the last 25 games of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that he's done anything that says he shouldn't be fired at the end of the season. You can look at the sample of games that he's coached. The Bulls are 28th in pace. They're 28th in three-point attempt rate. They're 26th in true shooting percentage, 28th in offensive rebounding rate. They're 27th in free throw rate. Do you know how bad it is to be 20, or like how hard it is to be 27th in free throw rate while also taking the 28th fewest three-point attempts per shot?
Yeah.
Like it's so hard because all you should be doing is trying to drive to the paint in that situation and get to the rim and draw fouls or get to the rim and get layups. Like, there's just no real semblance of offensive continuity, despite the fact that they have actual offensive talent, right? Like, again, Lauri Markkanen is a genuinely awesome offensive talent, in my opinion. Zach LaVine, for all of the problems that he has on defense, he is a very good offensive player, in my opinion. Wendell Carter, before he got hurt, they just had him stop shooting threes, and part of the value of getting a guy like Wendell Carter is his ability to be a modern offensive force, to pass it, to shoot it, to be able to play within a modern offensive concept, and you just never saw any of that under Jim Boylan with Carter. So I haven't seen anything on the offensive end, despite the fact that this is a team that has offensive talent, that makes me go, yeah, this is worth continuing into the 2019-20 season.
Let's talk about that draft then. Are you among those who believe that there is the one of ones, a drop-off to the next two, and then a drop-off to the next however many? How do you look at how this thing sort of striates?
Yeah, I think there's definitely at least one. Zion Williamson is unquestionably the number one guy in this draft, in my opinion. You know, I think you can make a case that he's one of the five best prospects, realistically, of the last decade. He is an unbelievable prospect. The only guy that I can think of, given the fact that Kevin Durant was, like 12 years ago at this stage now? I think he was 2007. So, you know, I look at Zion and I say Anthony Davis is really the one prospect that stands out as being better than Zion. Zion's just right in that next class. The next two, RJ Barrett, Ja Morant, you can have them in any which order. But I will say that I don't know that they are a massive level above the next group, right? Like, I have DeAndre Hunter at Virginia really high. He had 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists while playing killer defense last night in a win over North Carolina on the road. I think he's a really, really good prospect, and I would be very happy to get him if I was an NBA general manager, like somewhere in the top 5. Darius Garland, I think, is a really good point guard prospect. You know, there are some other upside players like Jackson Hayes and, you know, maybe Nasir Little, if you believe in him. There's a lot of differentiation in this draft. There are a lot of guys that are either more made products like a Jarrett Culver or a DeAndre Hunter. And then there are a lot of like low floor, high upside guys like Romeo Langford and Nasir Little. It's going to be a draft where you really need to make sure that your development is as important as the talent identification when it comes to getting these guys into camp and helping them improve upon their weaknesses.
Sam, did the Sixers in your mind lift themselves up to the very top of the Eastern Conference with their pickup of Tobias Harris?
I would say that they're right in the mix. I still think that, you know, for whatever reason, people seem to be underrating this Milwaukee team a little bit, I think. They obviously made a pretty good deadline acquisition as well with Nikola Mirotic. But you look at everything that, you know, goes into the you know, makeup of a winning team. They have an absolute superstar. They have a couple of other, you know, borderline all-stars in Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton. They have a ton of really, really good role players who can also shoot it. They have a ton of really good role players who can also defend. They have some two-way guys in the mix as well. And you look at their just like overall net rating numbers. I mean, they have almost a plus 10 net rating this year. This number would be among the best of the decade, really only below some of those elite Golden State teams of the last few years and some of the elite Miami Heat teams of the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh era. So with what the Bucks have done, it's really hard for me to say that getting Tobias Harris vaults the Sixers over them, but I think that getting Tobias Harris vaults the Sixers over the Celtics, over the Raptors, over the Pacers.
I've asked this question of all our national NBA voices. I'm putting a list together. I've heard a bunch of intriguing names, and it's purely theoretical. If I were overhauling the front office of my NBA team, I'm an owner, and I've decided that I want a new set of eyes on all this, and I want to hand somebody the keys to the organization and a blank checkbook to say, do whatever you need to do. Here's our assets. Here's our liabilities. Remodel this thing however you want. Hire whoever you need. What currently perhaps available for promotion or available as a free agent sports executive is that person?
Are you asking for a name?
Yeah.
of that? Oh, man, that's a really tough one. Because I think that Chicago, theoretically, and I'm assuming you're discussing this in regard to the Bulls.
Maybe.
But, like, Chicago, theoretically, should be a very attractive opening, right? Like, they have the power of the Bulls who sell out every game. They have a relatively clean cap sheet. I know that Otto Porter threw that into the mix. They have a lot of tools. So I kind of think that, like, they would have the potential to potentially go out and, like, maybe try and grab an existing general manager, try and grab another one. Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot there pretty hard.
If there is a name at the top of your list, say, look, next job opening, that's the guy right there. So far, the names we've gotten have been David Griffin, Sam Hinkie, and a really intriguing one, Mike Zarin from the Celtics.
Yeah, Zarin from the Celtics makes sense. I would have both Griffin and Hinkie ahead of those guys. They're ahead of Mike Zarin, at least. I'm trying to think of an existing one that makes a lot of sense. You know, I know Monty Williams is, you know, kind of considering going back to the bench, but Monty Williams is a guy that has a lot of, you know, cachet around the league. If he wants to get into the front office world, I mean, he has that great Spurs background. He's with the Philadelphia 76ers right now. That's an interesting one to me, at least. I'm trying to think of, you know, someone that they could maybe like grab off of a team that has done really, really well recently. I mean, that's, you're putting me on the spot.
I am indeed. I'm allowed to.
I like Monty Williams. I like that.
Okay. Right. There we go.
Sam, appreciate you chiming in.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
That is Sam Vecenie of The Athletic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.